Got it. And there's a passage of scripture, and I gave it to him yesterday. I don't know why I didn't write it down and bring it out here. But there's a passage of scripture that says that these people, they went before the Lord, and they said, we prophesied in your name. We did this in your name. We did that in your name. And then Jesus makes the statement. He says, but I never knew you. But this is what he did not say. He did not say that they did not do the things that they said they did. So what I'm trying to get us to see, especially on Wednesday nights, is that the only thing that you do, the only things that you do in life that is led by the Spirit of God, those are the only things that count. And really, they're the only thing that gets God's attention. You got it? Because as it relates, and I may get into this maybe a little bit next week, as it relates, and when God looks at your flesh is dead. Because of sin. So now the only thing that can cause the dead flesh to get God's attention is something that has been resurrected by the Spirit. So that means that anything that the Spirit initiates my body to do, that is only what gets God's attention. Which means you can do something spiritual like prayer and be praying based off flesh, and God ain't paying attention to your prayer. Even though prayer is spiritual. Some folk go to church. But they go to church because of their flesh. I'm just going to church. But it's nothing is initiated by the Spirit. Now, the simple way to understand when something is initiated by the Spirit of God is just by basically looking at what the Word of God said. Jesus said that those words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. So when I find something in the Word and then I work my life or align my life in accordance and in agreement with that Word, then what I'm doing is being initiated or governed by the what? Spirit. But we got to be very careful. All of us must begin to ask ourselves these questions. Then I'm going to go into what I'm going to talk about today. You got it? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why? Am I doing this because I want to do it? Am I doing this because somebody told me to do it? Or am I doing this because I believe this is what God has told me to do? Now, once you answer that question, that is the only one that counts. So if you will, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, and we're going to look at this a little bit. And see, can't we pull something out of the scriptures today that's going to bless you? And it's going to make your life better. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And we're going to start with verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Because, I'm every year I get a little older. You got it, and as you continue to live, you're gonna get a little older. And every year I get more and more, serious about what God has called me to do. Because I'm the one that's gonna have to stand before God. You got it. Just like you're the one gonna have to stand before God. You got it. So I want to make sure that what I'm doing is based on what God told me to do. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Verse 7. Consider, watch this, what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, the verse that I want to pull out of this is verse four right here. And we want to take a look at that, and we're going to begin to see how we can begin to make application with what we want to talk about this evening. But to make sure that we don't snatch the scripture out of context, we can see that Paul, you got it, is encouraging Timothy as a son. It's just like, you know, if I was writing you a letter, and you know, and I know my time is getting short, you got it? And there are some things that I need for you to understand, and I'm putting it in a letter, you got it? I'm giving you those things that I deem and I feel that are very important. It's kind of just like Jesus before he went to the cross. You know, he began to sit down and begin to tell the disciples certain things. This is sort of the same thing that is going on right now between Paul and Timothy. You got it? Now, but he makes this statement in verse 4. Go back to verse 4. Y'all bring verse 4 up for me. Verse 4, he makes this statement, and he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, if you can, find that verse in the Amplified for me and bring it up, or bring it up on the screen. But now, Paul is making this statement, because now, when we look at our lives probably look opposite to what Paul is telling Timothy. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes what he's talking about. The Amplifier says, no soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. You got it? Now, we busy ourselves with the affairs of life. That's what we do. You know, when we look at our lives, you know, come on, you got to be honest with yourself. You know, we look, what causes our life to be busy, you got it, is the affairs of life. Now, that word affair, in the Greek word, is this word P-R-A-G-A-M-A-T-E-I-A. P-R-A-G-M-A-T-E-I-A, which means a transaction that is a negotiation. You got it? Now, when I think of transactions and when I think of negotiations, I think of business. You got it? When you think of transactions and you think of negotiations, you think of what? Business. Simple, right? Simple. Okay, praise the Lord. So, what is the business of life? What's the business of life? So I was sitting there and I asked myself, well, what is the business of life for me? The business of life, working, the kids, their education, their extracurricular activity, and you know, the list goes on and on. That is the business of life. And now when I look at my life, you got it, and I start looking at my life in the shape of a pie, you got it, then probably 3/4 of that pie is the business of life, and there may be 1/4 that's God. But now this is I want you, but I want you to take a look at it, because I had to take a look at this. When I really look at the pie, all of my life spent, the majority of it, is focused on the business of life. And then I got this little sliver, you got it, cut out for God. You got it? But Paul tells Timothy, he says, hold up. Now, whatever man go to war, he don't entangle himself, you got it, with all of this stuff as it relates to civilian life, or you can say, watch this, the business of life. You got it? Now, listen, I'm not telling you that you need to go home, shut yourself up in the closet, and just sit there and pray. No, I'm not telling you this. But I'm telling you, but what we really need to begin to do is we need to begin to look at how are we spending our lives. You got it? Because if you got children, it's important that you spend time with your children. But here's the things you got to ask yourself. What is the focus when I'm spending time with my kids? You got it? Is my mind, you know, and what I'm doing with my kids, am I teaching and training my kids, you know, not just to be successful in the world, but am I teaching and training my kids how to be successful in Christ? You got it? So this is what we're talking about when we begin to talk about, you got it, this business of life. Now that word entangle is the Greek word empiplemi, which means to fill or satisfy. So basically, what he's saying when he's talking about being entangled, basically he's talking about this is what you're filling your life with. You're filling your life with the business of life. But you got to understand, you have been called to war. Come on. So now, because this is Paul talking to Timothy, man. You know, you've been called to a warfare. You got it? So don't let yourself, or don't let your life get too full of the business of life. So that now when you look at your life is more full of the business of life, and that's what satisfies you, but now you got this little sliver cut out for God. Now, and this is what we want to talk about this evening. If you give me a couple more minutes. All right, now, now, most of us fill our daily lives with the business of life. And occasionally, you got it, we jump in the kingdom battle when we feel compelled. You got it? You know, most of our daily focus is we focus on the business. I got to go to work, got to pay the bills, got to take the kids, got to get this done. All our day is spent like that. And then, once we feel compelled, for some reason, let's go pray. We cut out a little sliver. You got it? And this is how most of the, in Western civilization, this is how most of our lives look. Now, we visit kingdom pursuits when we come to church, we go to mission trips, we go to prayer meetings, we go off to a conference, you know, whatever the case. That's when we start thinking about kingdom things. But as it relates to the rest of the day, we're thinking about worldly things, all right? Now, the busyness of life is the norm for most. Now, why am I saying this? Because listen, it's just like with anything else I talk about. If you don't look at you, you ain't gonna never fix you. You got it? But there is a supernatural flow that God makes available for you. And he makes available for me when we get our priorities right. And see, and that's what the devil wants you to think. This is what the devil wants you to think. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to take care of this. You got to take care. So you spend your life, you doing that. You taking care of this. You taking care of that. But if you are just, you know, hey, give God more of you, then God, he'll take care of this. He'll take care of that. You know, he'll bring people in your lives. Watch this, that'll take care of it for you. Right. But what the devil wants us to do is he wants us to be like, have y'all ever had seen a dog that's running around chasing his own tail? This is how he wants to believe it. He wants us chasing our tail over and over and over again. Then we get tired, sit there ha, 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 for a while, and then get up and chase again. But that is not how God has it. God has set a system that, listen, if you would just trust me, Hebrew, if you would just put what's first to me, first in your life, all this chasing and all this busyness that you got going on, watch this, that if something happened to you, somebody else going to have to pick up anyway. Watch this, I'll take care of. All right? Now, Here's the question, or here's the point. When Jesus comes into our lives, it should cause an interruption, which causes for a rearranging. Now, I want to just talk to you like Paul talked to Timothy. I was in my meditation time. I was up early morning in meditation there, and y'all have always heard me go back and talk about, you know, how, you know, I believe I got saved in 1990. I got saved in 1990. I said, man, you know, I went over to God's house. God witnesses to me. You got it? And, you know, I got saved right there. I got saved because I know what I said, and I believe what I said. So, Lord took me to the book of Acts. He said, I need you to read something. So I went to Acts chapter 1, and it says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. I said, that's right. I said, that's right. Holy, you just said call. I said, I called on your name, and you saved me in 1990. He says, no, now I want you to go, and I want you to look at what that word call mean. Now, this is why, this is where the church got to start paying attention. If in the United States, if I say, let's go play football, what are we going to go do? We're going to go get us an oval-shaped ball, you know, with little lines on it, and, you know, and we're going to little things on it. We're going to throw a football. But if I was in Germany or somewhere over there and I said, let's go play football, what they going to go get? They're going to go get a soccer ball. Now, this is what has happened in Western civilization with us. We continue to read scripture, and then what we do when we read the word, we say, okay, that's what that means to me. But that may not mean what you think it means based off where you are. You have to go back and see what that meant when the people that wrote it and the people that saying it. So I went and I looked at this word called. And this word call basically means, watch this, a heartfelt. You got it? A heartfelt petition. You got it? That triggers action. So now, so now when I went and looked at, you know, what I did in 1990, won't nothing heartfelt about that. No, wasn't nothing heartfelt about that. You got it? My daddy had just died, so I was faced with my own mortality. Little fear, stuff like that. You got it? But wasn't nothing heartfelt that caused an interruption or a change of direction in my life, because the next day I was back there in my house barbecuing a pig, smoking a blunt, drinking a 40, and drinking all that naughty head stuff. Ain't nothing changed. So now I'm having this conversation. This is I'm sitting in the house having this whole conversation with the Holy Spirit. And you know, I'm having this. So when I really begin to look at it, what would have happened to me if I would have died in 1995? Would I have died thinking in my intellect that I was straight and then find out that I never knew you? So now it's been stirring this thing. It's been stirring this thing in me. You got it? That I must begin to deal with, you know, those that I say I love. And it's the same thing with you. That we really got, if we really love people, come on now. If we really love people, we're gonna have them to, you know, to pause and really take a look at this. You got it? So when I called on Jesus, was it a heartfelt? I'm not talking about no emotion, you got it? That triggered this interruption in my life that caused me to change. Because when you see this in scripture, now, you know, we're going to go look at it. But when you see this in scripture, I'm not saying that they was perfect. But here's the thing. When you see people's lives and their lives interrupt with Jesus's life, you got it? You see this change and this rearranging of the life. It's just evident. You got it? So now I got to ask myself this question. How has my life been interrupted? Not only that, you got to ask yourself a question. How has my children's lives been interrupted? We're going to look at two people, two rich folk, the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus. Both of them encountered Jesus, and both of them got two different responses. You got it? And because I believe that this is what happens so much, because when I don't care where you at in life and how much you have and how much you don't have. Based on where we are in the United States right now, most of us are considered rich when it looks at a world standard. Not at a United States standard, but at from a world's view, all us rich. Compared to what so many folk have in the world. You got it? So this is why, no, but this is why I picked the two rich folk. Now let's go to the first one. Let's go to the rich young ruler. go to Mark 10. Y'all all right? Don't take about 15 more minutes. I'm good. So my Wednesday nights, I'm still gonna be doing this whole lot too, but I'm just gonna do some talking. I'm just gonna do some talking. Now, Mark 10, verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17, it reads, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved." Now this is the next point you have to catch. Why? Because he had, come on, because he had what? Now, this is the point I want you to see. Overvaluing possessions prevented relationship, thereby hindering the supernatural flow. Overvaluing possessions, because he overvalued his possession, it hindered a relationship with Jesus, which stopped a supernatural flow. Because he overvalued possessions. That was the whole thing. You know, you got, you just say, look, he overvalued possession. He overvalued the things that are, watch this, associated with life in this world and not life in the world to come. He overvalued. So now when he began to look at, you know, everything that he had here, he didn't have a perspective on life to come. So he thought what he had here was too important, so it hindered a relationship with Jesus, and that's why he left grieved. Got it? Very simple. Let's look at the next part. Let's look at the next one. I'm going to show you something now. You're going to see something. Because I'm telling you, one of the reasons why we're so busy is because we have overvalued worldly possessions. And anytime you overvalue worldly possessions, you're going to discount or cause a disconnect or hinder a relationship with Jesus, which cuts you off from a supernatural flow. Period. So I got to ask myself a question. You got it? Am I overvaluing? Come on. Am I overvaluing the possessions and the things of this world? Am I? Now, you got to ask this question. Now, and you got to answer, and I got to answer. All right? Let's go to Zacchaeus. Go to, I didn't even put that scripture in my book. I'm telling you, fine, Zacchaeus. Look, y'all let me walk you through Zacchaeus. Watch this. Zacchaeus. Jesus was coming. Zacchaeus see Jesus coming. He go get up in a tree so he can get a good view of Jesus. Jesus walking down the street. Say, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm going to go eat with you today." Zacchaeus comes down. Jesus makes his way to Zacchaeus' house, has lunch, dinner, whatever it is, with Zacchaeus. Now watch what happens now. In the midst of all of this, Zacchaeus then tells Jesus this: "If everybody that I've wronged, I'm going to give such and such back to. All the goods that I have now, I'm going to give all of this to folk." And then Jesus makes this statement: "Zacchaeus, this day salvation has come to your what?" So this day salvation has come to your house. Now, valuing relationships caused him, watch this, to devalue worldly possessions. God, Jesus. So, now watch this. When I begin to value my relationship with Jesus, then it causes me to devalue worldly possessions, which now causes a supernatural flow to be released into my what? Life. Matthew 6:33. There is something that needs to be said about putting God first. Now, listen, the Lord know you got to work, know you got to pay your bills, know you got to spend time with your kids. Now you need to sit down and you need to have a conversation with God. Well, God, how do you want me to rearrange my life? How many of y'all walk by people today that y'all know didn't know the Lord and didn't say nothing to them? Yeah, I mean, you know them. You know, you ain't say, you know they won't say. And you didn't set the stage where you can say something to them one day. Like saying, okay, can I go to lunch with you? I'll take you to lunch today. Can I go get you a drink out of the vending machine? Because now what I'm doing is I'm sowing some seed right now, but I'm sowing this as a setup because probably in about a week I'm going to hit you with the Jesus message. See, you see what I'm saying? But your mind trips and now it refocuses. You got it? But most of us, because we're so busy, you got it, with the business of life, we ain't concerned about nothing but the kingdom. Now, because I'm not talking about, let's take the church and the building out of the way. Let's get all that out of the way. We ain't talking about your singing, your ushering, your greeting. We ain't talking about none of that. We're talking about on a daily basis, how much of your actions on a daily basis is in agreement or in alignment with advancing the kingdom purpose or advancing your purpose. That's the question that all of us has to ask. And the older I get, because I am concerned about my future, the more deeply I begin to ask myself that question. What did I say? Matthew 6:33. Don't even have to read that. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his what? And all these things shall be added. There's something about putting what's important to God before what's important to you. And see, and this is the thing that the enemy don't want us to get, where he wants us to continue to put what's important to us first, and then put what's important to God second, third, fourth, or 75th. You got it? And now we have disconnected ourselves from the supernatural flow. When Jesus said, today salvation has come, do you know that word salvation is a very pregnant word and it just don't mean saved from hell? It actually means when you do that, you have just released wholeness, Jesus. When I begin to put what matters to God first, then it releases now this wholeness to begin to come into my life. So here's the question. Where are you lacking? Look at another scripture. Go to 1 Kings. We're looking at this. We're looking at this on Sundays. I'm about done. I told you we are. 1 Kings 17. Verse 13. We're looking at this on Sunday. Because let's look at what triggered the supernatural flow. 1 Kings 17. Verse 13. We went through the first part of this on Sunday. Look at verse 13. And it says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake fifth. And he, see, because the problem, okay, let me clarify this biblical point for you. The prophet in the Old Testament was the embodiment of the kingdom. That's how God spoke to the folk. Okay? He was the embodiment of the kingdom. So watch this. When she put the prophet need above her need, she now triggered a supernatural release into her life. And that release not only sustained her, but it sustained her child in the midst of a famine while everybody else was dying. Somebody say first. See, but this is what the enemy don't want us to do. He doesn't want us to put God first. He don't care if we put him second, third, fourth, fifth, but just don't put him first, because now when you put him first, there's this supernatural flow that's released into your life that I can't block. Because it's no longer coming from you. It's coming from who? And it is all throughout scripture. Peter fishing. Fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus said, come on, let me use your boat. Don't go home, take a nap first. Let me use your boat. He let him use his boat first. Then watch this. What he had need up showed up. Man, I can go scripture after scripture after scripture. And it's like we continue to miss. We say, well, no, God, we got to do this first. No, God, we got to do that first. No, God, we got to. He said, slow down. Come on. Stop being so concerned about the business of life. Put me first, and I'll show you how to navigate through the business of life. All the effort that you're using now, you probably won't have to use if you would just slow down and make his slice of the pie bigger. One more and I'm gone. All right. Go to Acts 20. My job. Acts 20, 25. Very simple, very simple, very simple. So when you leave here tonight, if you don't get nothing else, only thing you get, I need to put God first. Very simple. Come on, this ain't, don't complicate the gospel. You ain't got to complicate this thing. You got it. You go to the house and your spouse ain't been treating you right. Come on. Come on, and you've been thinking about how when you get home, you're going to lay into them. But now, when you leave here on the way home, you're going to have a talk with God. And God's going to say, no, you ain't going to say that. What you're going to do is you're going to go in and fix his favorite meal. Interruption. I put God first. Come on, when I put God first, I have a right to expect a supernatural release into my life. But no, this is what we do. You know, we know this is our problem. We know what God said, but we be like Eve. But that ain't what I want to do. Now, when the consequences are levied, now you're hollering. Simple. Just obey God. Just put God first. And somebody say it's not hard. It's not hard. You want to say Acts 20? Come on first. See, so when I'm talking about putting God first, I'm talking about, you know, now you got to take a look at your life. Because now Jesus, watch this, because you've had this encounter with him, causes this interruption. Your life will not remain the same if you have an encounter with Jesus. Folk, that life remained the same, they ain't had no encounter. Amen. They were just looking to get something. They felt like that in the Bible too. But they haven't had an encounter. You show me anybody that's had an encounter, they become a follower. Acts 20. Now, you're going to think about this on your own. Verse 25, chapter 20, verse 25. This is Paul talking. And now, watch this. Behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, watch this, shall see my face no more. So y'all ain't see me no more now. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, when he's talking about feeding the church of God, and he's talking about the whole council of God, he ain't talking about barbecuing no chickens. Now, he says, as far as I'm concerned, he says, my hands are free, watch this, from any blood. Why? Why? Because Paul did exactly what God called him to do. Now, when he did that, you can turn, watch, you read the scripture on your own. I'm just going to take some excerpts from it. It's 2 Timothy 4:7-8. This is what Paul did. Paul did not look back down to what God had called him to do. He didn't back off. He didn't back up. But he finished strong at the end of his life. And he could say, this is 2 Timothy, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, this is what I'm saying. It is time for us to move past our fears. Time. Because until you move past your fears, you can't even begin, watch this, to run your race. What's holding me back from witnessing? What's holding me back from that person, Lisa, when they come in your salon and you see all the heavy weight and you grab your hand and say, can I pray for you? What's holding you back from doing that? What's holding us back from putting God first in every area of our life? You know, it's time out, and it is time for us to follow Christ. That's it. And when we do that, watch this, what we are concerned about, watch this, God will become concerned about. And watch this, he will not allow that thing to die in your life unless it's supposed to. Come on. Because there are some things we carrying that he ain't told us to carry now. Come on now. There's some stuff you may be doing that he ain't told you to do. There's some stuff you carrying he ain't told you to carry. So now, just because you start putting God first, ain't mean he going to do nothing about that. No, he going to let that fall off like it should have done a long time ago. And then he's going to usher you into the place where he's called you to be. And God is a big enough God where he can take really, really, really good care of you. Praise the Lord. Y'all received that today? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm done.